All right, tonight we're going to teach on lesson 23. It is the lesson on give. And so, as usual, I'd like to go through the principle and the step just to kind of remind us where we are in the process. We're towards the end. We're at principle 8, which is the last principle. And if you want to read it along with me again, it says, "Yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words." And then step that goes along with this, of course, is step 12, the last step. It says, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and practice these principles in all of our affairs. All right, so how do we know if we've reached step 12? I mean, you know, there's 12 steps, 8 principles. It's kind of a long journey. In fact, that reminds me, it is a journey. Life takes us through different stages, and it is a bit of a journey. Sometimes it's a fun journey, kind of like a vacation that you've been planning for a long time. And other times you're kind of like, geez, didn't see that one coming. That was a side road, a detour I wish I would not have had to go down. But here I am. So what do? Well, thankfully, that's what recovery's for, and that helps us in these times. So I thought it was rather interesting. I purposefully skipped the verses just so that I could highlight them. I really think it's interesting that we go through this arduous process. Those of us who've been here for quite a while, we know that, you know, we get through a portion of our recovery. We think, oh, I have this glaring thing that's wrong with my life. We come, we start dealing with it. It diminishes, and then we realize, oh, wait, no, there's this other glaring thing that now I have to work on. And so, you know, we've gone through this big journey in our lives. And I find it rather peculiar that the verse that goes along with this principle says, happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. So how do you know if you've reached step 12, my friends? Well, have you felt under the gun a little? Have you felt a little pressure? Have you perhaps had people X you out of their life? Have you had to let go of some relationships in your life? Recovery can be a little painful. The rewards are worth it. The farther away from chaos and crazy we can get, the more we understand, oh man, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm a castaway on an island all by myself. This journey sure hasn't been very fun for a while. And I feel like I'm out here hanging on my own. I've lost my friends. I've lost my family. Maybe you had to change churches or you left your church because you were upset or hurt or something. I'm not sure, but sometimes recovery can hurt. And we're not going to, you know, pretend like it doesn't. So happy are those who are persecuted, because as we walk through our recovery, we start to realize that, oh man, wait a minute. What I thought was reasonable was crazy making. The stuff that I used to do because I was raised that way, because I believed that way, because I felt that way, that was really just crazy making. And we start to develop new relationships, new friends, new family, perhaps, new church interactions. I don't know. The list can go on and on. So we discover that for us who have worked all the way through the process, we no longer do what we used to do. We may no longer believe what we used to believe. I think you're getting into the 12th step at this point. You're starting to function in this whole principle. All right, so interactions with those in our recovery and in our lives. You know, the end of the step says that we practice these principles in all of our affairs. Are you the kind of person who starts saying little cliches of recovery wherever you are? Like, crazy is as crazy does, or hey, that's kind of crazy. Maybe you should look for some sanity, some peace of mind, some composure. You know, you just start kind of throwing out these, it works if you work it, hey, you know, as you walk along. I mean, we kind of, it starts growing on us a little bit. Are you actually saying these things and practicing these principles in all your affairs? Are people kind of looking at you a little different? Different because you're different because you're no longer crazy. Like all of a sudden you make way better sense. Like, you know, sometimes, go ahead and just silence that. Sometimes people are like, sometimes we get to where we're unrecognizable. But that's, I think, a lot of times a good thing. Because I'm hopefully unrecognizable to the way I used to be. And I don't want to be the person I used to be. So as we work through these principles, if you start assimilating into your life, not just when you're here, but you take these principles and assimilate them into your practice in all your affairs, my friends, you're working step 12. Congratulations. You know, another way that we know that we're working step 12 is if we sponsor people. It's the number one way to give back. The name of this lesson is give. If you want to give back, you got to sponsor people. It's the number one way that we can do this. So I want to go to the second verse, the verse that's for the step. And it says this. Now, I'm going to change it just ever so slightly when Ted gets it up there. The next slide. Where'd my verse go? Okay, whatever. It's Galatians 6:1. It says, brothers, but, you know, we're reformed here, so it's going to be all y'all. All y'all. Or, hey, folks. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore that person gently. But be careful, or you yourself could get caught up in the whole crazy thing. So that's like being a sponsor. That's just flat out being a sponsor. If you see somebody struggling, you say, hey, sister, for me, if you're a guy, brother, because, you know, we're gender specific here. We don't do the cross-gender sponsoring thing. That's a no-no. So I say, hey, sis, you know, looks like you're struggling a little bit. Would you like some help? You looking for a sponsor? I could take on a sponsee. You help others. You know you're at step 12, principle 8, when you're reaching out and sponsoring other people. And then, of course, there's leadership and service as we continue to do this work. So we have an acrostic tonight. It's the G, stands for God first. We need a map of how to do stuff in our life. If you want to go on a vacation, you usually have to map out an itinerary, you have to buy your ticket, you have to purchase your rental car if you're going to do that, book a hotel, you know, do all this stuff. You have to plan it. My friends, if you're not at, I should say it this way, by the time we get to step 12, you know you're grounded in this step if you've now gotten to a place where you're planning your life better. Chaos is the lover of relapse. Planning, organization, stability, structure, those are your friends when you work through recovery. So if you're getting to a place where you're kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm getting pretty good at mapping this whole thing out. I don't feel like I'm being, you know, flung around like a wave in the sea. I got some structure. I've got some organization going on. So, you know, I'm doing pretty good. But the number one thing that we have to go off of is God. God's got to be first. There's a verse that goes along with this. God did not even keep back his own son, but offered him for all of us. He gave us his son. Will he not also freely give us all things? And so give is done in a way in which God guides us in this process. So let's go back to sponsoring. How do you know if you're actually giving in a way that's healthy? Because a lot of us, we can do unhealthy. We can do dysfunctional. No problem. It's like our natural language, right? But how do we learn to do stuff in a healthy way? God's got to be the guide. So if you've got somebody approaching you who's asking for a sponsor, number one answer, let me pray about that. because I've had to say no to sponsoring some people because I knew when I let my spirit rest and put the pride away, hey, they asked me to be a sponsor, cool, or whatever is going on. Like, when I put me aside and focus on God, sometimes he tells me, no, this would not be the best choice for you right now. God has a better or a different alternative. What I think I could give to that person may not be healthy for me at the time in my life or in their life. Maybe it's that we're at different stages and what I could share with them may be totally healthy and fine, but they're not ready to receive it. So for them, it's not going to work for them. Or maybe I'm in a place of near relapse and God's like, no, no, I got a better idea for this one. They just didn't ask the right person quite yet. And so, you know, sometimes we have to base our decisions. We always should base our decisions off of what God's telling us. So always pray about it first. Don't just jump into sponsoring somebody because you think you're all that, or you think they're that bad that they need that much help, or whatever the whole scenario is, because that's us thinking in our dysfunctional thinking. Get ourselves out of the way. Ask God for guidance in that process, because really, it's about each of us gaining closer to the Lord. And so maybe we're not the right choice for that moment. The next thing is you got to stay balanced. So it may not be an issue about me sponsoring this individual, but I have to learn to keep balanced in my own life. A map is extremely helpful because it helps map out the course to go. A map is really cool if it's like a topographical map. And so there's like different kinds of maps. There's maps that are just kind of like across that way, that direction. You can get there with that route. There's a clear path. But a topographical map, my friends, I love maps. A topographical map is fantastic because it not only says, yes, that's a route, but oh, by the way, there's three mountains in the way. So, you know, understand how to use your map. Your map is the word of God, plain and simple. God's told us how to do life. He's already mapped it out for us. It's called the Bible. That's it, plain and simple. Engage in the word. My friends, if you're still struggling with feeling like life is unbalanced, I challenge you to set aside at least 10 minutes a day to read God's word. I challenge you with that because I've had to learn through my own experiences that when I drift away from God's word, I get all kinds of strange thoughts. I end up doing all kinds of sideways behaviors. When I ground myself in God's word and I keep going back to his truth, then I know what the lie is. How are you supposed to know what a lie is if you have no idea what the truth is? And we learn the truth through God's word because God is truth and God is love, and he directs us in that. So use the map that's just readily available. Their Bibles are free everywhere. You don't even have to buy one. Triggering people or situations are not healthy for us either. So sometimes it may not be it may not necessarily be the person or the situation of how you're doing in your recovery. Maybe you're being balanced, but sometimes I've just had to be like, stop yelling or I'm hanging up the phone. Stop yelling or I'm hanging up the phone. You know, because sometimes there's situations that are just going to trigger us. We are unhealthy when you're trying to like sponsor a person and stuff like that. There may be times where you have to make a boundary with them and be like, now's just not the right moment. And addicts all know that when somebody calls you drunk on the phone or actively in their drug of choice or at the gambling machine or whatever the addiction is, you know, on their way over to the boyfriend's house to do something they shouldn't be doing, that is not the time to call your sponsor because you already are in the action of doing whatever it is you are gonna do, and then you expect them to talk you out of it, and then you get mad, and I mean, it's just a terrible scenario. It never works. I'm not sure if anybody's had an experience where that actually has worked. You've already done the deed, or you're on your way with the decision to do the deed. So sometimes there's moments when you're a sponsor and somebody calls you on the phone, and it's like, this doesn't sound like an opportunity for me to help you right now. Call me when you're sober. You know, so there's times when we have to limit our interactions with people because that keeps us healthy. Don't let them suck you into their chaos and drama. There's something called the drama triangle. Kent refers to it sometimes too. And it's essentially crazy making. One of the coolest things I've discovered in recovery is I have a choice. I have a choice. Y'all want to be crazy? I'm out. Go do crazy without me, man. No, thank you. And so sometimes when we're practicing step 12 and principle 8, we are yielding to God because at that moment, yielding to them is dumb. Yield to God, get yourself out of the situation, separate yourself from crazy making at times. It's just not going to be healthy for you, and it's really not going to yield a good benefit for them either because they're not in a space to receive it. And lastly, the number one way that we know that we're healthy and in step 12 is if you're staying in your own recovery. If you feel like you're slipping back and you need to go back to denial because something's worked its way into your life, that's okay. Life is cyclical. It's not linear. This whole thing of like, I'm at step 12, I arrived, yay. So what? It just rolls back around again. So, you know, keep coming back because you need it. And so, you know, don't get too caught up in yay, step 12, because there, what's that verse? No temptation has seized us except that which is common to man. And when you think you've got it all and you're just doing so awesome, be careful. That's the moment you're going to fall into temptation. My paraphrase. It's like 1 Corinthians 10:12 or something like that. I'll find it later. Give starts with God first. We really can't give and help anybody, really, if we don't focus ourselves on the Lord. The second one is I becomes we. I becomes we. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one, because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help them up. But if someone is alone, there is no one to help them up. Two can resist an attack that would defeat one person alone. And that just kind of reminds me of a rope. I kind of made an attempt to try to find somebody with climbing gear because climbing has such a neat example of this. But there's many things that we can yield from an example of a rope. For one, it has many strands. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, a cord of many strands, or it actually says three. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. This one has many. I can't even count the strands. Really strong ropes are woven together with many strands. When you're rock climbing, I don't rock climb, but I think it's a really impressive thing that people can do. And there's this saying, it says, to belay. So belaying means that you're connected to another person. You have this harness, it runs through these carabiners and blah, blah, all this terminology stuff that I don't really know, but I'm just faking it right now. And so when you're helping somebody climb and you are on belay with somebody, that person on the other end of the rope is doing some key things for you. They are assisting, they are guiding, and they're supporting. If you're tandem rock climbing, you can't do it by yourself. The places that you go to tandem rock climb can't be climbed by one person. It requires at least two. I think that's kind of cool. Yeah, there's like the crazy people who like rock climb with no ropes, but they're crazy. They may need recovery. But the rock climbers who like climb Mount Everest, a single person cannot climb Mount Everest. The path is too difficult. They would never summit the mountain by themselves because they need somebody to be on belay with them. Recovery is not something you do by yourself. When we're by ourselves, that's what got us in the messes usually is we trusted ourselves, trusted our own thinking, felt like we couldn't trust other people, went off on our own path. If you're working step 12, you understand the importance of having somebody on belay with you. Those relationships of sponsors, of accountability partners, of connecting in a step study and a small group, fellowshipping with each other, sharing your life with each other. It's not a one-man show. It's an all-y'all show. So ropes are extremely important because somebody else is holding on with us. And when we slip and fall, like the verse says, two people can resist what would overcome one person. I'm not going to baloney with y'all here. Life is hard. Recovery is difficult. That's why people don't stick around. For us who have worked it for a while, we understand that we can't do it by ourselves. And about the time I think I'm all that, here comes some sort of temptation. And I got to be humbled. I got to be reminded that I'm not all that. It's not about me. I have to keep God first. I mean, these are super true principles here that I'm talking about tonight. So next thing is, I have seen this phenomenon happen multiple times. People come to recovery. They start. They're super amped because they can totally understand my life is messed up. I really need some help. They jump into a step study. They start making all these connections in step study. That's awesome. That's the way it's supposed to be. But the bummer part is when the step study ends. Because they've invested in a lot of connections in that step study. And a lot of times, after step study, a lot of those people disappear. It shouldn't be that way. But it happens. And then they feel like they're at a loss because now they have to make new connections. It's a hard reality. But it's each and every one of our responsibility to make those new connections again. We can't blame the people who left. We can't blame the people who stayed. We have to remake those connections. And sometimes those are really hard to do. I don't know how you get to step 12, though, if you don't. Because just because you went through a step study and completed it doesn't mean you made it to step 12. Sorry, a little bit of Debbie Downer. But the next point's really cool. Victories shared. That's the next one. So the verse that goes along with this, it says, give thanks to God, give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father and the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in all of our troubles so that we are able to help others who have all kinds of troubles using the same help that we ourselves have received from God. And so, like I say in small groups sometimes, it is celebrate recovery. What are your victories, my friends? Where's your trophies? I mean, it's not all about a trophy and a victory like party or whatever, but seriously, if we're just sitting around moping about the things that are wrong in our life, we're not on the right path. Because with God, there are always victories because Jesus already won. So we're always in a state of victory if we really truly believe what the Bible says, which is Jesus already won. It's just a matter of time and we're going to be a winner. We may not feel like a winner right now. Life may still be really hard, or maybe it's been good and it's back to being hard again. But we're a winner. So what is your victory? What are you celebrating? It is called Celebrate Recovery, for crying out loud. So if you're not able to find something to celebrate about, I'm not sure if you're in step 12. And I'm not sure it's the best recovery group then, because maybe we as a recovery group need to work on figuring out how to celebrate more victories then, because certainly we're not following the namesake, which is celebrate recovery. Celebrations are supposed to be fun events. They're supposed to be things that we celebrate with. So some of the things that we can do when we celebrate our victories is go to small group. If you're not going to small group, you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself. You're selling your whole experience short. Because small groups are some of the funnest times every week. We get to see people's sincerity. We get to see other people's hurts. Sometimes when I'm feeling kind of down about myself, like, dang, my life sucks. This is so stupid. And then I go to small group. I'm like, never mind. Never mind. I'm good. At least I don't have their problem. I'm fine. You know, so sometimes that whole, like, get your eyes off yourself and start, you know, seeing that it's not all about you, boo-hoo-hoo. Like one of an old recovery sister used to say that, and as part of her testimony, she'd be like, poor me, poor me, poor me, another drink. You know, it's like, seriously, like, if all you can see are the bad parts, you're not really working good recovery then. Because there's always something good in life. And I'm not just saying that. I used to actually hate people who quoted the verse, oh, you know, God works all things for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. And I used to be like, shut up. Because there for quite a while in my life, things were not going well. I didn't have anything to be proud of. I was very full of shame for the things that I was involved in. So hear me when I say, I'm not just pulling this stuff out of the air. I'm not just saying it because the Bible says it. I have personally experienced my worst parts of my life have been redeemed. They are now the things that I share with others that bring them hope and healing. So the only reason it works for good is because God redeems it. Not because I did anything worthwhile. Yes, I did do things because I was doing what God required. I worked a step 12. So I don't say it lightly or in jest or flippantly. God does work things for good because he redeems them, he renews them, and he does restore what the years that the locust have taken. It may not happen quickly. Usually doesn't. That's why people don't last, because they want a quick fix. Uh-uh. It took us years to get into the mess we were in. It will probably take years to get out of it. Okay? No quick fixes, but God does redeem. He does renew. He does restore. And you do start to see good in it. And one of the funnest ways that we experience that here at Recovery is when people share their testimonies. We sit and we listen every other week about a changed life, that God did something in somebody's life. Yeah, sure, we may relapse. We're human. God doesn't change, though. And he will always restore, he will always renew, and he will always redeem us back again. So, yeah, we may mess up, we may relapse, we may stumble, we may find some whole new other crazy direction to go. But that's okay. God's got all the time in the world. He's not in a hurry. He'll be there when you're ready to come back. And also just doing additional step studies. Super excited, by the way, just a little plug for what's coming up. They came out with a second step study. I had the privilege of looking at the books the other night. They're really cool. They're really cool. The step study 2 has some really, really good questions in the studies, in the lessons. And if you feel like, yeah, this is, I've been through like 4 step studies, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no. Just wait. Step study 2. It's really cool. And it's going to be released here shortly. Actually, the books are already available. And so some folks are going to go down to Summit. They're going to come back with some ammunition to launch the step study two. So if you're feeling like, I'm kind of bored in my recovery, no, I got a solution. Keep coming back. There's something more for you. So the last thing is examples of your actions is the E. Examples of your actions. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So I've said it a couple times, but the full statement is, keep coming back. It works if you work it, and it works because you're worth it. So share your examples of the things that God's done in your life. You know, there's another verse that talks about you don't hide a light. You don't hide hide a candle. So I thought it was kind of fun. I'm choosing to be safe inside of the building with a non-wick burning candle. Well, what has God done in your life? What victories can you share? There's another little slide, if we can find it to stick up there. Ours is a responsibility to keep our lights bright for others to see and to follow. That's step 12. I'm done. That's it. That's step 12. Let your light be shine. Let it shine out to guide others. That's the whole beauty of this program, is that not only does it help us, it helps those who are willing to look and to see the light and to follow it. You know you're working step 12 when you're sharing your experiences, strength, and hope with others. So be a light. Go ahead and shine. Others need it. They need to see something. They need to see our hope. Go to small group, share your victories, celebrate what God's done in your life, and pass that on to others. Because, my friends, have you looked at the world? It's messed up. They need a light. That's our job. Thanks.